with us as we go here. Our topic of study this time is a topic that is important to every responsible soul. When do we become accountable to God? And what do we do with that accountability? The Bible tells us that we become responsible to God when we find ourselves in sin. Little children are not in that particular category. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus had disciples to bring him to the little children to come before him. And as they came before him, Jesus said, I tell you, except you become converted and become like these little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The fact of the matter is that he was not telling them, except you be converted and become like these little sinners. But he was telling them, unless you become converted to the helpful use of the Lord, you will not enter this kingdom of heaven. Little children are special to God, and they're innocent in their years as they go. But I often tell parents who inquire about their children deciding to be baptized into Christ to wait till the time to talk with them about that particular matter. Do not delay. Do not put off. Do not tell them no. But tell them from this standpoint in their own thinking. Let them make up their own mind in serving the Lord. When it is that you think of something you're fixing to do, you're fixing to say something, you're fixing to do a certain deed, and you think, boy, if mama finds out about this, I'm going to get it. If daddy knows about this, I'm going to be spanked. If grandpa or grandma hear about this, they'll sure write me out of their will. Things like that. If we think about parents first, instead of the Lord, we're not quite ready. The maturity is not quite there. But if we stop to think, the words I'm fixing to say, they hurt the heart of God. The deeds I'm fixing to do, they're against the righteousness of God. You know, when Paul addressed the thoughts and ideas about how to be righteous before the Lord, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet 'tis not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What the scripture tells us there is the idea about putting to death the old man of sin. We put him on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. My life has been put to death. My words and mannerisms have been put to death. Somebody says, well, what if I mess up at times in and I know the things that I said I would not ever do again? Paul was one of those. In Romans chapter 7, vividly he describes it. He said, O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? Talking about the body of this sinful ways of life. He said, I thank my God, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ I have victory. It is through him. When we put to death, when we crucify the old man of sin, it is dead to us. It no longer speaks to us. It no longer delivers us. But if we dig the body up, so to speak, if we get him back in our lives, and we begin to practice some of those same sins and wrongdoings before, who delivers us from this body of death? I thank my Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. He does this. John does, a better job in describing what we do, actually do, in 1 John 1. In 1 John 1, he talks about those that are in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. Goes on to say in verse 9, if we sin and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's a person in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Here's a person that has the privilege and wonderful blessing of coming to the Lord on a day-to-day basis in prayer. Lord, I have done what I've promised I would not do. These are things that I would not say. Here are deeds that I would not do. But I have yielded to that way of life. I frankly admit I forgot you in the midst of doing this. I forgot your presence in the midst of saying these words or doing these deeds. I forgot that you're looking over my shoulder, that you are there who always hears my prayers, always sees the path of the righteous, and always wants to do good by you. I've forgotten that, and I entered back into this old way of sin. But I put that sin to death, but I raised it up again. I pulled it from the grave. With all the tatteredness about it, I brought it back to my life. What can I do? Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Stop and pray. Lord, I'm truly sorry for what I've said. I'm truly regretful for what I've done. I truly don't wish this to be a part of my daily walk of life. Help me to remember you every hour and help me to pray about this more frequently in my day so that I will be delivered from this way of thinking and doing. And you know what? You can have that to happen. I've had scores and hundreds of brethren tell me through the years that this message and this idea was the most prevailing thing on their lives that caused them to make changes in their life from the old way of sin when they were baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, to continue living that newness of life because the Lord himself would pardon us. He would free us. He would deliver us. That is a great blessing of the Lord. How do we live in the Lord's way? Well, we live because he came to save us. Remember that there at the house of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Finally, at verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to seek and to save us in the sense that we could be obedient to him and in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And when we come into that fellowship, we then have a privilege to remember them. And if we do forget him, and if we do enter into sinful words and sinful practices of life, we can be forgiven. We can come back to the Lord and when we remember and say, "Lord, you know that I told you this. Lord, I wanted to leave this. Lord, I didn't want this to continue with me." Paul said in regard to this matter in 1 Corinthians 9 that he buffeted his body day by day lest he become a castaway. After I have preached the gospel to others, I'm preaching the truth to others, I'm preaching how they can be delivered, yet I myself am living in this way of sin. I can buffet my body day by day, lest I, after I preach to others, I myself should be made a castaway. Here I am at the judgment bar of God, and the Lord says, "Paul, go over here to my left hand. Go over here to where the goats are. Go over here where those that are rejected are. Because your way of life was a way that in word only you served me. In word only you did this." Oh, how sad it would be. When Paul said he buffeted his body day by day, he did it for the purpose of being at the Lord's right hand. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit for you the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. When I was hungry and thirsty and in prison and in need, you came to me. You helped me. You were actively involved, not just in word, but in mannerisms as well. You are now come to my side, my right hand side, and be blessed forevermore." What a blessing it will be for that to be the case. And here's someone who will know it best. Here's someone who will know it best because I once was lost and now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm see. I once was in this way of life and wrongdoing. And I knew and recognized that it was there with me again. And now a freedom came about, a privilege to come into the Lord. And that's the way of life. When Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, he didn't come just to tell us what to do to be saved from sin, but to add us to his church. That's right. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 38 tells them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then it says in verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. The Lord didn't even want to save people. He wanted to add them to a relationship in the church, in the body of Christ, by which they could be reminded in sermons preached like this, in classes taught like we teach, in situations of prayer like we hear brethren lead us, in situations where we're reminded of the Lord's body and blood to cleanse us from our sins, and in addition, how we ought to be people who don't give up to the money, that we're just giving it up, but it's a proof of our love as we make a donation for the cause of the Lord. We're talking about people who can be servants of God. That's why Jesus came, to help those that were in sin to be delivered from sin and to become servants of the Lord and not be alone. He expected them to come into his body, the church. How long was that in the plan of God? Ephesians chapter 3 and that verse 10 tells us regarding this matter that it was in the eternal purpose of God. He purposed in the church. You know, you and I, teaching the gospel of the Lord is a great part of the Great Commission. And that's a good thing to do. We send people out throughout the world to tend the message. We send people in times of disaster out to help, so that open the hearts of people who can be taught the gospel by missionary workers who are there. We are a congregation who are part of great work throughout the world and great amounts of work throughout the world. We're there as we give and as we pray for them. We're there with them at the time of the get-go of those needs that are there. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have that to be a knowledge on our part? And how privileged we are to thank God for the gifts and opportunity we have to give and to do extra for it. It's a wonderful blessing to have. And we are part of that work, part of that labor. It was in the eternal purpose of God to make known by the church his manifold wisdom to the world. Not just in teaching them the word of the Lord, but by our living from day to day that way of life. That way of life that says I'm free, I'm pardoned, I'm delivered. I know what to do with my sins. I don't have to lie to you and say, no, you didn't see me do that. I don't have to be a person who says to people around me, I never thought that. But to the contrary, yes, I'm as weak as any man or any woman. I have been delivered. And being delivered now is a privilege. If I'll confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. A good brother today who said to us publicly, I want you to pray for me. I want to repent of the ways of my life. That's just the one statement of that our day. This is a great opportunity and a great time. But as I mentioned him, the Lord nowhere told us to walk an aisle. He did tell us to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, if it's an opportunity to walk up an aisle and give my hand to the preacher and say to the congregation, please pray for me, then that's a great opportunity. It's the first opportunity I've had since I realized where I was and what I was doing. And therefore, I can ask for forgiveness about it and prayers about it. But if that's not the case and I decide in reflection, and hearing a lesson maybe on the internet, like you'll hear this lesson again on the internet, on our site, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. And you'll hear it again. And once you hear that again and it reminds you, and it's on Monday night or Tuesday afternoon that you hear that, and you say, you know, that's where I am. I need to confess my wrongs to the Lord. I need to come back to that crucified life. I need to be that person, like Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Don't wait till you got, because there are people who don't realize that the light up at the end of the tunnel is coming down the path right toward me. But he asks the people to realize that day by day, the Lord wants a living servant. He wants somebody who's gone through difficulties, who will teach a class or speak up in a class. I've often invited individuals to come to a class to talk about various things that they faced in life. Some of these young people would ask them questions that only young people can ask. And they would ask them questions about their life and how they got into this, and how they got away from it, one thing and another. I remember one of those guys came to a class and he said, "I don't know what I'm going to say to y'all." He said, "Y'all work in life like I do." And he said, I got away from the Lord." And he said, "It was a shame that I did. I'm glad that I had somebody come by and talk me about it. And we prayed together about it, and I got back right with the Lord." And he said, I'd have not had any blessings like I have now. And I'm so enjoying this life." And one of the young people spoke up and said, "Why did it take you so long?" Well, he said, "That's a good question. I don't know why. I heard on radio good gospel message preaching being done. I went to a service and a funeral service, and I heard a good gospel sermon being delivered." He said, I went to a wedding, and there was a Lord talked about there at the wedding. And he said, I was in a cafe, and there was somebody asked me a question about Jesus. I had a lot of opportunities to think about him and think about where I was and what I was saying and doing. Why did I wait?" And then, sharp enough, he turned the word back and said to the young person there, "Why do any of us wait?" And he got the standard reply that all young people do when you ask a question back. Shrugs of the shoulders. Just, "I don't know." Well, we don't know why, but we do know what. What the Lord came to do, deliver us, and how we can be delivered. What a blessing it's been to share this message with you in this topic as we close out this year, this particular message. As with this week, the world at large looks at the idea of the birth of Christ. When he came, the historians tell us that all the way from 300 A.D. up to 1800, it was a misnomer of time and when he came. But what he came to do was the emphasis Jesus gave. It's emphasis in every book of the New Testament. Not his birth. Oh yeah, Matthew goes into a little bit about his birth and the prophet's fulfillment. Luke goes in a little bit about his birth and regarding his way of life and his love for people. But Mark begins with his service of the Son of God. John begins with back in eternity when the Father had the Son with him in eternity. Not at the birth. But every one of the books thereafter deals with his death for us and how he bore our sins in his own body upon the cross. And you and I can live our lives dying with sin, being crucified with him. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That faith of the Lord of the Son of God was not just the fact that Jesus believed his Father's will. That's a part of it, I'm persuaded. But the faith that he delivered for what we can do with our sins. He came to seek and to save us, and that's what he's doing. Anybody subject to Jesus' invitation today to come and be restored to his love, you're welcome to do that as we stand together and sing this song of invite today.
What a day of return.
God bless you all. Thank you for being here this morning. Tonight our service is for visitors who come and be a part of this. If any of you come back, you'll be coming back because you want to come back. Only way, you'll not have to come back this evening. Good to have you as part of the service this morning. God bless you and the happy times that you enjoy together in safety time. If our children get here tomorrow safe and sound on Monday, we'll have the holidays fine. God bless you.